about a minute or two ago. I was here either the very end of July or August, it must have been, and I had shared that I was having trouble swallowing. I was choking every time I put food in my mouth, even food the size of a pea. I was choking on it. And the ENT was clueless what to do to me, just kept saying it's a mystery. Sent me to USF ENT, figuring they're a university, maybe they know research and can figure it out. He had no clue. Sent me to the speech therapist for treatment for that. But when I first went to the first ENT, so they said they had no clue. It was paralyzed. The epiglottis had no idea what to do with it. So they scheduled an appointment with USF, but the only appointment they could get was 6 weeks later. And I said, God, I'm choking every time any food goes in my mouth. I can't wait 6 weeks for a doctor to start investigating. I need you to do something. After service here, someone came to me and spoke to me and said they felt the Lord was sharing how I should pray. And I said, oh, yeah, that's what the Lord taught me about how to pray. Wow. And then that evening I was at another service and someone came to me with the same thing. And so I started praying along those lines, and every day I could swallow a little safer than the day before. I could put slightly bigger piece of food in my mouth. And 6 weeks later when I arrived at the new ENT, he said, and once again, he had no clue what to do, but it looks like I was swallowing, sent me to the speech therapist to observe, and she didn't have the machine to look at my epiglottis, but gave me a nice dry graham cracker, and then put her hand on my throat as I chewed and swallowed, and she says, I can't see what's going on, but all I know is you're swallowing perfectly normal. She says, I have no idea why your epiglottis stopped working, and I have no idea why it started, but it's working normally. And I just said, well, God wanted to teach me to pray more, that's why. And that's what I told every doctor, God wants me to pray more, so the Lord is faithful. And so he takes care of us. He kept me alive. My Gita, one of my twins, she saw me really choking one day when it first started. And if she saw me eating after that, she would not leave the table till I was finished. She was so concerned for my well-being. She saw me really choking that one time. And but God is faithful all the time, yes. And so it is good to be able to chew. An apple is one of the items, it was impossible. So every time I have an apple, I'm reminded, and I thank God. And so now I may not be praying every day for healing, but when I eat foods, all of a sudden the Lord reminds me, you couldn't eat that 2 months ago. And so I have to thank the Lord and for his healing and his care. And so now instead of praying, I'm thanking. And so when I eat these different foods, just thanking him. Our children are doing well. All of our children, I realize it can all be lumped together into one thing. They're all within the next several months at a place of transition. Three of them graduating high school or college, others looking for what's the next step with college or jobs. So all of them within these coming months know there is some sort of transition in the works there, and so keep them in prayer. Three of them graduating coming up this May, June. And Caleb will be at the conference. So those of you can keep your eyes open. Caleb will be there. So you will have that opportunity. He'll be running the YMJ conference part of it there. So he will be there. And Venus here, so you can mob her afterwards and just love on her or let her love on you. However that'll work. And but we're really glad to be here. It is Hanukkah coming up, and dedicate your temple. The word Hanukkah is to dedicate. And listen, I enjoy eating chocolate and potato latkes. But now that I'm 56, I can't take liberty and keep eating chocolate or potato latkes, or I'll be in trouble. And so I will look forward to chocolate and potato latkes, but I always figure there has to be more to the Hanukkah than eating. And so as a teacher, say, okay, God, what is it that you want? And so dedicate your temple. So if we can go to the next slide. And what we have is, you know, the story of Hanukkah is found historically. The teaching is not from Leviticus. It's mentioned where? Where is it mentioned? John. And so we just know Yeshua was at the temple celebrating. There he was there at the temple during Hanukkah, dedication. But we have no instructions about the holiday in the scriptures. The historical writings are the Book of Maccabees or Josephus. And so that's where we get the history record about what the feast is about. And so I've gone there to look and see. And what we have is God raised up some men to fight King Antiochus. And they were able to go and regain control of the temple. And when they got there, the place was a mess. The sanctuary was desolate. I believe they took away all the items of worship from within the sanctuary. There was still other stuff, but it was ruined. God's house was left desecrated, devastated, and damaged. And you see a picture of a sanctuary, not the temple, but damaged and desecrated. And the picture on the left, well, the dog had a little too much fun that day and did the same thing to someone. And that actually is a picture of someone from Sheresh David, Tampa, their house. They came home, and that is what they found in their house. And when I asked them for the picture, they said, listen, if you really are looking for a dog, we have one you could take. And so that doggy did the same thing to their house as the King Antiochus did to God's house. Anyone ever go home and find out that their doggy did that to their house? Oh, a couple have raised their hands. All right. This stuff happens. And so for those of you that have experienced or do you see it on the screen, this is what they did to God's house. They wrecked it, ruined it, left it damaged. And so they had to go in there and purify, cleanse, and rededicate the temple to worship. And so things were at such. And so then when the people of God saw the place like this, they had a decision what to do. They had to ask a very important question. If we could look at the next slide. And they had to ask, do we love it or list it? Do we love it enough that we're going to spend the time and effort and energy to clean it up and fix it, or should we just put it on the market and count our losses and move on? Well, the decision was an easy one. They loved God's house, so they would keep it and rededicate it so they could worship God there once again like they did in the past. So the priest began interviewing, the next slide, go ahead, rehab addicts for this total temple makeover. They needed to find the best fixer-upper in all of Jerusalem. People who can come in and clean up the mess, repair things were broken, but they could not just go in and tear out walls and put in new walls and just remake the whole place, change the structure and all that, because God had issued in the scriptures a divine design. The scriptures record exactly how the temple had to build. You could not just, you know, open it up for some contractors and see what creative plans they could come up with. God gave the divine design how the house of God had to be built. And they had to stick with it. They had to read the blueprints in the Word of God and stick exactly to it. And so I think about this, and I'm reminded that in the scriptures, Paul says that those of us who belong to Yeshua, that put our faith and trust in Him, we are now temples of God as well. God lives inside us. And so while we enjoy some chocolate and potato latkes, we need to sit there and say, okay, God, here is a time we're remembering that the Maccabees rededicated the temple in Jerusalem. Well, God, it's time to rededicate this temple. And so I started thinking, well, how do we do that? If we can go to the next slide. The word Hanukkah comes, the root word is kanak. And kanak can mean to dedicate, train up. And it says in Brown, Driver Briggs, make experienced or submissive as one does a horse by a rope in its mouth. Now, if you're a little naughty, this is what God may have to do to you. He might need to put a little rope in your mouth if you don't cooperate and submit. That's what, you know, you have a horse, and so generally people have, oh, you got to put the rope in the mouth. And so then you could tell the horse, forward, now bear to the left, it's time to stop. And that's how you would communicate to direct the horse how to go, where it needs to go. And you dedicate and train your horse how he is to live and carry on his business in serving you and your purposes. I looked up submit, if we could go to the next slide, in the thesaurus, to see other words. Submit can also mean surrender to, give in to, bow, defer to, or yield. If we're dedicating these temples to God, we need to surrender them to God. We need to bow before our King, defer and yield to Him. This is what it means to dedicate this temple. Yield to God. You train a horse so that then you can ride it, and the horse then can serve your purposes. We need to dedicate these temples and yield them to God so our temples can be used for God's service, for Him and for the kingdom. Now, if we could go to the next slide, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, do not stiffen your neck. Don't be obstinate, stubborn, or pig-headed like your fathers. But yield or submit yourselves to the Lord and enter His sanctuary, which He has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that His burning anger may turn away from you. Yield yourselves to God. If we can go to the next slide. Yield. In the Hebrew, it's tenu yad ladonai. And so we see on the far right, tenu. Looked up that word to give, employ, dedicate, entrust, give over. We yield and entrust and give it over. On the far right, ladonai, to the Lord. Now, when I looked this verse up in English, whether a Christian translation, Jewish publication society, they all say yield to the Lord. Tenu, yield, ladonai, to the Lord. But in the middle, in blue, there's another word. Brother Bob shared that word when talking about the Torah. That word in the blue is yad. Now, when I looked this up, even the interlinear Bible, anyone familiar with an interlinear? All right, interlinear is not just a bilingual like Hebrew on the right, English on the left. What it actually does is underneath the word tenu, it would say what the English is. Yield. Underneath ladonai, it would put to the Lord. And it would put directly underneath, so word for word, you know what you're doing. I looked this scripture up in the interlinear. It's got yield under tenu. It's got ladonai under the, it's got to the Lord under ladonai. But under yad, it's blank. It's blank. And I'm sitting there, right? I'm not fluent in Hebrew, but I'm comfortable. And yad isn't just two random letters thrown in to make the sentence longer. It's a real word. What does yad mean? Hand. Yep, it's the pointer. If we can go and hit the slide there. It actually is the word hand or power and strength. And I'm just like, I've got to start making some phone calls and asking other linguists or scholars, why is nothing, even in an interlinear Bible, placed under the word Yod? Yield to the Lord, submit to the Lord, entrust to the Lord. But it puts nothing there under the word Yod. Matthew Henry, a Bible teacher, says, devote yourselves to the Lord, to His service, to work for Him. And I'm thinking that keeps in mind with the word Yod, yield your hand to the Lord for service. If you're giving yourself, your hand, your strength, your whole body, give it to the Lord for service. I just don't know why nobody translates the word Yod. It seems to fit in my mind and just reaffirms and strengthens, reinforces the concept of yielding to the Lord, employing yourself to the Lord. Give Him your hand, your strength, your entire temple, your body for service to God and His kingdom. This is how you dedicate your temple. One of the ways, give Him your body for service. All your strength. If we could look at the next scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. No one likes being disciplined. We don't smile when we're under discipline. But sorrowful. Yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Trained. Kana can also be translated trained. What I find interesting, there's the word yield again. If you yield yourself to the Lord, you will yield righteousness. Yield yourself to the Lord and you will yield righteousness in your life. I like the Amplified. It helps us understand. It explains righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose. I've always saw the righteousness being right standing. We're in right standing, we trust in Yeshua, now God says, start to act like it and live like it. Live like you're in right standing. Your lifestyle should reflect that you're in right standing with God because you're conforming to His will and purpose. But I also like in there, there's the word attitude. If we're rededicating our temple to God, we're not just going through the motions trying to look good and do the right things. That may be step number one. But what God also wants is the attitude is there as well. We're not just doing it because we're fearful of punishment or more discipline, but we have the right attitude that we love God and we want to serve Him. Yield ourselves to Him. Phillips, in his translation, when it's all over, we can see that discipline has quietly produced the fruit of real goodness in the characters of those who have accepted it in the right spirit. You rededicate your temple, it's going to impact your character. And once again, in the right spirit. Dedicating yourself, you're doing it with the right spirit. And the message, it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. When you're rededicating your temple, you will mature in your relationship with Him. And so we need to yield to the Lord. Now, we need to be one that we have the right attitude, the right mindset, the right attitude, so that when God says, go forward, we just say, yes, sir, yes, Father. And we just willingly go with the right attitude. Otherwise, if we can go to the next scripture, in Psalm 32, do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and brittle or they won't come to you. Or the contemporary really says it nice, don't be stupid like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them, force them obey. Dedicating the temple, we have the right attitude that we lovingly, willingly surrender and yield to Father because we know Him and trust Him. Because listen, the bottom line is, God always wins. And if we don't willingly, lovingly trust Him and obey, well, the only question is, are we going to do it the easy way or hard way? Because if He has to, He'll put a rope in our mouth and He'll drag us kicking and screaming sometimes. And it's usually not as much fun going that way. So rededicating the temple, saying, all right, God, help me to put an end to my kicking and screaming and forcing you to drag me along. Help me to yield. Help me to have the right attitude. So I lovingly, joyfully go and serve you and the kingdom. As mentioned, one of the translations of Kanach is to train. If we could see the next scripture, I never would have realized in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go and how he or she should live. Train up a child. Kanach. Train that child. The message, point your kid in the right direction. You're teaching him, let's go. Oh, no, no, no. Here, turn to the left. Do you see that? Do you see that off to the left? Yeah, that's where you want to go. That's the direction you want to go. And the training, the dedicating has made it to the next level when, like the Living Bible, teach a child to choose the right path. You don't no longer have to tell your kid, peek to the left, look to the left, turn to the left. The kid knows which way. He finally now, he can choose the right path on his own. That's when it's a success. That's when the training and dedicating is accomplishing the purpose, when mom and dad no longer have to tell the kid which way to turn, which way to look, but they're able to choose the right path. Anyone here ever remember the movie, what, Indiana Jones? Raiders of, was that when he was searching for the Holy Grail? And he goes there, and all of a sudden, he doesn't just find one Holy Grail, if I understand, right? There's a whole room full, cave full, and an angel or something of the Lord is there to counsel him a little bit. And I guess there was the real one, but there were some other ones, and there could be some consequences if he selected the wrong one. So if we can look at the next slide, he was given the advice, you must choose, so choose wisely. This is the way it goes sometimes. Rededicating our temples, we need to realize we're going to have choices to make, and we had better choose wisely because often there are consequences when we don't. When we choose the wrong choice, make the wrong choice. Rededicating our temples, dedicating, training ourselves so that we can make the wise or right choice. We need to do that so we stop suffering so many consequences in our life. We need to choose wisely. Now, if we could go to the next slide. When I was studying the word Kanach, on the left is the word Kanach from which Hanukkah comes from. But in one of the study materials I was looking at, it said to compare that Kanach with this Kanach on the right. Even if you're not fluent in Hebrew, you could take a look and see that the two letters on the right are identical in red. Then in the purple, they're visually different. Both of those letters are pronounced K. So both of those words are pronounced Kanach, but they have a different letter for the K sound. And the resources I said read, they said, compare these two words. So they're must saying they're connected. They relate to one another. And so when I looked up the other word, kanak, it said to be narrow. By implication, to throttle, reflexively to choke oneself to death by a rope. Reflexively, not physically, literally. Throttle in the thesaurus, regulate, control, curb, restrain, keep in check, strangle, silence, and muzzle. Start to think of those words and think about dedicating your temple. And these words can help us understand a little bit. Go to the next slide, please. Regulate. We need to allow the Word of God to regulate how we live our lives. And sometimes when we ignore the Word of God, God starts speaking to us, and sometimes we sit there and we put our hand up to the Lord. Hey, God, I'm free. Stop regulating my life and telling me what to do. Some people in the church, in the Christian world, hey, we're under grace now. We can do what we want. I don't know where they got that word definition of grace from. I need to still study that word, but I thought grace is we don't get what we deserve. Because we've disobeyed God's word, and God says you deserve some punishment, but I love you, so I'm going to spare you. That's what grace is. But too many people, oh God, stop regulating my life, telling me what to do. No, the Word of God is given to us to regulate our life, to direct us how to live, what to do, what not to do. It said, choke oneself to death and strangle. What does Romans 12 say? Offer our bodies as what? Living sacrifice. When I shared this last week, I thought, oh, is that like an oxymoron, living sacrifice? I mean, when they put an animal on that altar of sacrifice, you know, he wasn't living when it was all said and done. But for us, that's not the same. We are to be a sacrifice, but we're to continue living. Living sacrifice. The next scriptures, Galatians, it's no longer I who lives, but Messiah who lives in me. Yes, I'm here, but listen, it's Messiah in me, so it's really Him and His body. It's His temple to do what He wants, not mine anymore. And in Romans, if you want God's Spirit, what is He supposed to help us to do? Say no to our desires. When those desires within us spring up and would try to urge us to do something that's not within the regulations of God's Word, we need to put our hand up to those desires and say, no. Back down, go away, not happening today. We have to say no to those earthly, fleshly desires that contradict the Word of God. Silence and muzzle, it said for kanak. If we could look at the next slide. We all have days, most days, we might need to do this. If we're going to dedicate this temple, we might need a little duct tape. I've been told duct tape's good for everything. It's really true. They repair a lot of things with duct tape. We need to repair some things. What you see, we're going to dedicate this body means we need to dedicate this mouth as part of our body. But while God's working on us, we might temporarily need some duct tape while we're a work in progress. Because the next scripture is that we have, James is a popular one, but as well though, Proverbs, the same thing, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like scorching fire or a destructive blaze. And James, it only takes a spark, remember, to set off a whole fire. Little. A careless or wrongly placed word. Careless word, wrong word that comes out of our mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, We can throw mud on a reputation, destroy a reputation in seconds. Send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Now, we will have wrong, careless words in here. But what did James say? Words that come out of the mouth. So listen, it's normal that those words are going to be in there. But the deal is, don't let them out of your mouth. And if they're about to come out of your mouth, go grab that roll of duct tape and put it on so the words don't come out. If you're still at a loss what to get someone from Hanukkah, a gift, a roll of duct tape is the perfect gift that, listen, every person can use. We all can use duct tape one day or another. A few years ago when I shared that at a Sunday school in Lutz, we went to, they had a little party afterwards. Since it was a church, they were having a Christmas party, the Sunday school class afterwards, and they had what, the white elephant thing? And they let us play, they had extra gifts. And what was one of the gifts? Duct tape! They will never forget my teaching, or at least that part of it. Duct tape is the perfect Hanukkah gift. If you're going to rededicate your temple, that includes the mouth, and get some duct tape while you're a work in progress. All right? Very quickly, let me just look at the next slide and just give you these so you'll know. It also said narrow. If I worked for that trucking company and that was my job assignment, I would not have given them a two-week notice. It would have been a two-second notice. I would not get in that truck. I wouldn't drive it. I would not be a passenger. Scriptures say we got to stay on the straight and narrow. The road is narrow and the gate to enter is narrow. Listen, there ain't no wiggle room on that road. In the message, it says the way to life to God for the whole thing about enter the narrow gate. It is vigorous and requires total attention. If you're going to drive on that road, you got to pay total attention. You can't veer just a hair to the right, because if you do, you're dropping fast. If you veer a little to the left, you're going to hit the side of the mountain, bounce off it, and go off just the same. You can't play no games driving on that road. You either pay total attention or experience total destruction. It's one or the other. Dedicating your temple, dedicate narrow. Reminding yourself you've got to stay on the straight and narrow road. In Judaism, one of the things the rabbis had did in the past is they created fences around the Word of God, a lot of the oral law. Now, yes, the fences are not equal with the written Word, but what did the rabbis probably understand? We have a hard time staying in the lines, right? And so they had to build fences. Anyone here have little kids? So you have a fence to keep out trouble. You got kids want to play in the backyard, and there's woods and all sorts of wild animals. You'll put up a fence to keep the animals out. If all you got is a front yard and you want your kid to play, you're going to build a fence because there's cars driving by out there. And you want your kid to be safe. And so you build a fence to protect yourself and keep you from destruction. And the rabbis understood that. We need a fence to protect us, because some people are just, well, I don't know what the right word is, but they're going to test God. And they're going to walk right along the edge and just, you know, test God and see, look, I could walk along the edge. But even, you know, for everybody, accidents happen and you will slip. So some are just stubborn and they want to test God. But the rest of us, even if we're trying to be right, little accidents, sneezes happen, and boom, it's so easy. So you've got to play it safe and step back so you don't accidentally slip and destroy yourself. If we can just look at the last picture. Listen, you know, when you're a little kid learning to draw, you don't often stay within the lines. Now, if you're just a kid drawing, it's not a big deal if you can't stay within the lines. Nothing's going to happen. But does anyone want a doctor that can't stay in the lines, a surgeon? oh, we got a little surgery, and here we are cutting. Oops, I went a little too far, but that's all right. You don't really need that part. It's okay. No. Narrow. You got to stay on the narrow road because the Word of God provides lines or boundaries for living our lives, and the goal is they keep us safe. Rededicating your temple means rededicating yourself to live within the lines or the boundaries of the Word of God. And so what I showed you here is some ways what the word Hanak, dedicate, what it means, and hopefully painted a little picture for you. How to rededicate your temple to God so that you can offer it, yield it for service. And so let me pray. Lord, thank you for Hanukkah. Thank you that there is good food to enjoy. But thank you, Lord, that this is a time to rededicate these temples. And so, God, I just pray in the name of Yeshua that you would help us this season to rededicate our temples to you. And I pray that my words and pictures, Lord, that each one of us will receive, remember one or two words, one or two pictures that were meant for us individually. And so that this month, as we're celebrating Hanukkah, that, Lord, you would help us to rededicate our temples to you and your kingdom. We want to offer and yield our temples to you to be put to work, to be employed by you for your glory and your kingdom. And so take our temples and put them to work, cleanse them and purify them, and then put us to work as well as you see fit, and help us to have the right attitudes as you change us and work in us this season. And I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.